Our New Testament reading this morning is from Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 1, verses 15 through 23. Let's listen to God's word together. I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, and for this reason I do not cease to give thanks for you as I remember you in my prayers. I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation as you come to know him, so that with the eyes of your heart enlightened, you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance among the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power for us who believe according to the working of his great power. God put this power to work in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but in the age to come. And he has put all things under his feet and has made him the head over all things for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. May God bless to our understanding the reading and hearing of his most holy word. So a woman named Mary Ellen Dieters wrote about her six-year-old son Alex in an issue of Today's Christian Woman several years ago. Alex was looking at a picture of himself that had been taken when he was about a week old. He noticed his umbilical cord, and he said, "Mommy, what's that black thing sticking out of my belly button?" And his eight-year-old sister Maria quickly replied, "That's your extension cord." "Did you know you have an extension cord?" "You do. It's just not in your navel. Your extension cord is that part of you that wants to be connected to God." You see, we are all spiritual creatures. And whether you want to admit it or not, we all need to be connected to God. And as we allow Christ Jesus the Lord to work within us and through us, we are connected to the power God has to offer, much like an appliance is connected to its source of electrical power by an extension cord. In the passage we just read from Ephesians, the Apostle Paul prays for the church. He prays for us. And he asks God to give us a spirit of wisdom and understanding so that we can know God better. He asked God to enlighten the eyes of our hearts so that we can know the hope to which God has called us, so that we can know the richness of God's glorious inheritance, and so that we can know the power God has to give us. Paul goes on to say that the power God has to give us is the same power that God used to raise Christ from the dead. That kind of power is available to us. And so I want to take a few minutes this morning and focus on how Jesus can connect us to the power of God. First, though, let's take a moment and pray together. Let's pray. Great and mighty God, you have set so much before us. The hope of your kingdom, the glorious riches of the inheritance of your realm, and the power that flows from your throne. Open our eyes, open our ears, open our minds and our hearts so that we can understand all that you have set before us. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. The old saying goes, knowledge is power. The thought is that the more information you have, the better able you are to influence your situation. The knowledge of God is ultimate power. And Jesus has promised us the knowledge and power of God. So, I want to share with you how the word power itself can help us think more about the power of God that Jesus wants to give us. So, the word power starts with the letter P. And the letter P stands for pledge. We access the power of God in our lives as we pledge ourselves to God. In his letter to the Ephesians, chapter 1, verse 13, the Apostle Paul writes, "In him, in Christ, you also, when you had heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and had believed in him, were marked with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit." Belief in Christ, pledging your allegiance to Jesus, seals you with the Holy Spirit of power. We can pledge ourselves to God. While I was still teaching middle school in Newport News, there were many highs and many lows. One of the high points, though, of each day was every morning we would all stand up together, put our right hands over our heart, and we would recite the Pledge of Allegiance to the American flag. Every time we recite the Pledge of Allegiance, we are making a public declaration of how important we believe this country is. We can pledge our allegiance to Jesus. Different Christian traditions do that in different ways. Our Presbyterian tradition has many opportunities. As the Apostle Paul says, we pledge our allegiance to Jesus whenever we believe in our hearts that God raised Jesus from the dead and confess with our lips that Jesus is Lord. We also pledge our allegiance to Jesus every time we come to worship, whenever we celebrate the sacraments of grace, baptism, and the Lord's Supper, whenever we gather together publicly around the Word of God, when we make a commitment to learn as much about Jesus as we can, when we strive each moment to live out Jesus' commandment to love, as we share Jesus, as we tell other people who don't know Jesus just how important he is, we are pledging our allegiance to Christ. As we tell ourselves, as we tell our God, as we tell other people just how important Jesus is, we pledge our allegiance to Jesus. The eyes of our hearts are enlightened, and we receive God's immeasurably great power. The next letter in power is O. The O stands for own up. We access the power of God in our lives when we own up to who we really are. Way in the back of the New Testament, almost at the end of the Bible, there's a little book called 1 John. And in 1 John, it says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. We can own up to our shortcomings. When we don't, we cause all kinds of problems, not only for ourselves, but for other people. We start to fool ourselves into believing that we have it all figured out. And there is a classic example of what happens when people think they have it all figured out. back in April of 1912, 1,516 people went to a watery grave because a whole bunch of people thought they had, crossing the Atlantic Ocean, all figured out the Titanic was unsinkable. So 3 days into the journey, when the wireless operator started getting warnings that there were icebergs along the ship's path, he just ignored them because he had been told they had it all figured out. The Titanic was unsinkable. When he finally took one of those warnings to the bridge, the captain read it, handed it to the managing operator. The managing operator looked at it, wadded it up, and threw it in the waste basket. The Titanic sped ahead full steam because they had it all figured out. The Titanic was unsinkable. At about 11:40 on the evening of April the 14th, the Titanic hit an iceberg. And all the passengers were warned that the ship was in trouble. They needed to go to the lifeboats. But nobody had ever bothered to brief the passengers on how to use the lifeboats because they had it all figured out. The Titanic was unsinkable. We all know how it turned out. When we don't own up to who we are, when we fool ourselves into believing that we have it all figured out, we lock ourselves in to patterns of thinking and behaving that will ultimately lead to our destruction. When we own up to our shortcomings, when we confess our sins and admit that we don't have it all figured out, the eyes of our hearts are enlightened and we receive God's immeasurably great power. The W stands for wait. We access the power of God in our lives as we wait on the Lord. In the Old Testament book of Isaiah, the prophet writes, "Those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They will mount up on wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." We can wait on the Lord. The problem is we as human beings struggle with this idea that we have an idea of how and when things ought to happen. Our culture drives us so much and we become so schedule-oriented that it's so very easy for us to get impatient, especially when we think God ought to do something. In fact, our men's prayer breakfast is studying a book right now that's called "Lord, Give Me Patience and Give It to Me Right Now." The Bible says great things happen as we wait for the Lord. But we like to be in control. We like to set the pace. We like to imagine that we control our futures and our destinies as we wait for the Lord, knowing that God is going to act. The eyes of our hearts are enlightened, and we receive God's immeasurably great power. The E stands for encourage. We access God's power as we encourage one another. In his letter to the Philippians, the Apostle Paul writes, "If then there is any encouragement in Christ, any consolation from love, any sharing of the Spirit, any compassion and sympathy, make my joy complete." As we encourage one another, we become inheritors of the glorious riches of heaven. We can be encouragers. I recently read a news story. I don't know if you saw it. Walmart has submitted a patent for robotic bees, drone honeybees to fly around and collect pollen to pollinate flowers, fruit trees, and shrubs, because apparently in the last year, the United States has lost about 44% of its honeybee population. I don't know a lot about honeybees. There are some members of my family who do know a lot about honeybees. But what I know is that in a beehive, different bees have different functions. Some bees don't do anything except make the honey, and some bees don't do anything except make sure that the queen bee is fed properly. Other bees get to fly on those long cross-country flights gathering pollen and nectar. And there are some bees who don't do anything except sit at the very entrance of the hive all day long and beat their wings as fast and as hard as they can. Their job is to keep air circulating through the hive. And without those fanner bees, the air inside the hive would grow stale and deadly. Well, a guy named Glenn Clark says that every church, every life needs fanner bees, people who keep the fresh wind of the Spirit circulating. The importance of encouragement, consolation, sharing, compassion, sympathy can never be underestimated. As we encourage one another, the eyes of our hearts are enlightened and we receive God's immeasurably great power. And the last letter in the word power is the letter R. Stands for respond. In his letter to the Ephesians, later on, the Apostle Paul begs us to live a life worthy of our calling. Once you have received the incredible gift of salvation that God has to give, what else could you do than respond to God by joining God in the work of the kingdom of heaven? Our problem is that when we start to think about how we might respond to God, we almost automatically default to great names in the church who have responded to God in huge and fantastic ways. People like the Apostle Paul, or Mother Teresa, or Billy Graham, or Martin Luther King Jr., or Martin Luther, or John Calvin, and we think, there's no way I could ever do anything like that. Well, Paul goes on to say that humility and gentleness, patience and forbearance, making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, is the greatest and highest calling God gives to His people. As we respond to the incredible gift that God has given us through the Lord Jesus Christ, the eyes of our hearts are enlightened and we receive God's immeasurably great power. So I invite you this morning to discover the power that Jesus Christ has made available to you. Pledge yourself to God. Own up to who you are. Wait for the Lord. Encourage one another and respond to God's gift. As we do, the same power, the same mighty strength that God exerted when He raised Christ from the dead will come to us, and our world will never be the same. Let us pray. Great and mighty God, You have made the power of the kingdom of heaven available to every single one of us. Lord, it is hard for us sometimes to understand what that power means in our lives, but help us, Lord, each day to seek You and to understand all the wonders, all the glory, all the power that you have made available to us. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.